Guys, thanks again ever so much for being here. I actually don't look at the list of who's going to be here because it's quite a nice surprise to see who's going to be a leader. So it's great to see you all here. It's wonderful that the Lord has called you to this task. As you know, because of the way we do discipleship at Euston Church, we delegate teaching and care through the small groups. It really is such a vital task. We really do consider you guys to be the ministry team of the church, and please do see yourself that way. So if you have ideas, observations, concerns about the ministry, well, it's your ministry, so please feel free to air any of that. I want to say thank you again. At this time of year, you know, this year particularly, we're down a few folks on staff and trainees compared to where we would normally be or have been previously. We don't panic about that. The Lord will give us all the resources that we need to do everything that he wants us to do this year, so we trust that. Also, we very much are an every member ministry. That's always been in the DNA of Euston Church. So the total kind of capacity, as it were, of the ministry is about the gifts of the whole body. It's not about specific numbers on the staff team. So let's pray that this is a year where maybe we can remember that and reimagine what that means for everybody to be serving in the ministry. And we've not only always been an every member ministry, it's been a ministry where the teaching aspect has been shared out, and that's you guys as well. So it's not that the staff team do the teaching and that other people do practical works of service. You are the teaching team of the church. So thank you again for being that. Psalm 124, this is just a, what do we call this, ministry pep talk? I don't know what pep talks make you think of, but it's not really a pep talk. It's a psalm, Psalm 124. And I always say, well, I said it this year, I try to say it every year to the staff team at the start of the year, please have a relationship with the Lord this year. Some of them, when they're new, look at me like, what do you mean? Of course we're going to try and have a relationship with the Lord. You know, that's setting the bar really quite low on what the aim for the year is. But what I mean is, please be someone who has a relationship with the Lord before you are someone who does stuff for the Lord. If you were in the room for the session that Mark just led, that's just what you guys have been thinking about. But it's so easy, especially when you get into midweek leading, you know, to be defined almost as a for the Lord person rather than with. So you're with before doing stuff for the Lord. And I find things start to go wrong in my head and my heart and generally in life and ministry when I stop doing the basic thing of walking with him, talking to him. And that's where the Psalms have been such a devotional life saver for myself so many times. I guess that's true for many of you as well. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. I hope you've got the sheet there. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they'd have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared up against us, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who's not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Songs of Ascents, if you've been around for any length of time, you know I always seem to default back to these. I've never used this one, though, in one of these little training talks. Us on a journey in the Songs of Ascents. How's life on the journey? It's a good question to ask yourself, actually, this year, before you ask that to anyone else. And the point of these hearty anthems is songs to keep pilgrim people going as we journey up to the great city of God. A bit of stuff on the back, if you're interested in how the Songs of Ascents work. They seem to be clustered in threes, and the pattern in each three is there's distress first, then there's a cry for help, and then there's an arrival home. I think that basic shape certainly works in the first cluster, 120 to 122. And I think it works in the second cluster neatly as well. And that's where Psalm 124 is. The middle one of the previous cluster, that's the famous, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Remember that one? And so Psalm 124 is in some ways doing something similar to that. You see that from verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, why am I telling you that? Sorry, we've thought a lot about the structure of Romans. You don't want to get into the structure of the Songs of Ascents at this time on a Saturday afternoon. But one of the things it helps with is it just helps you to compare and contrast, because you don't need a Psalm 121 repeated exactly the same every time through the cluster. And so you're asking, well, is there a fresh angle on the idea of God being our helper in Psalm 124? And there is. Psalm 121 was a positive meditation on the Lord being our helper. Psalm 124 takes it from the negative angle and asks the question, well, what if he hadn't helped us? And there's a whole branch of study that loves to speculate, the what ifs of history. What if Churchill hadn't been prime minister? When I did this with the team, they told me there's a Marvel Universe what if series now about what if alternative things had happened in the end of the movies. And they told me as well that there's a Coldplay song called What If. So thanks to the team for keeping me with it. I think the Coldplay song's actually about 20 years old, but never mind. But what ifs can be painful and personal, can't they, when you're haunted by what if you had done something differently? And the what ifs of ministry. What if I wasn't leading a group at Euston Church this year? What if I had a different group? What if I'd done more with that person last year who seems now to have wandered away? And what ifs, they can be overwhelming on the inside, and they can make us grumpy and disappointed at the Lord when we're thinking about the things that what if he had done in another way. But this psalm says there's a kind of what if that's godly, and it wants us to be led by this kind of what if. Verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side. Verse 2, if the Lord had not been on our side. In other words, what if he hadn't been? This is asking us to do the Marvel Universe thing. Imagine an alternate universe where basically all the ways that the Lord had helped you had been different. What would your life have been like? Well, the short answer is it's total catastrophe, isn't it? If you read the detail of this psalm, total catastrophe without the Lord. Pick what your favorite disaster movie. Verse 3, Swallowed Alive. That was a movie called Anaconda. You seen that? Very bad movie. Bad-tempered snake swallows a scientist. Verse 4, the flood would have engulfed us. That's goodbye Leonardo DiCaprio at the end of Titanic. Do you remember as he floats away? And verse 6, we'd have been torn by their teeth, their jaws, my favourite of the genre. But all of those calamities rolled into one. That's how it would have been without the Lord. And we don't know exactly what David is thinking about. It could be any number of occasions where he was hounded and enemies attacked. But the Lord was the thing, if the Lord had not been on his side. There's a guy called Alan who used to work over in the city. Alan got made redundant from his city job about 20 years ago, early in September of that year. He was supposed to travel to New York with his team the following week. They did travel to New York, and they all perished in the Twin Towers on September the 11th. What if that guy Alan hadn't been made redundant? Well, David feels maybe more like he was the last one. There were certain floors. It was the last floor where anyone could survive. David seems to feel like he's just the guy that's got out by the skin of his teeth. He even called the place the Rock of Escape in 1 Samuel because he was terrorized and closed in upon. But the Lord. And his point is he knows it's not just one man's story of near misses. You see, he draws in the whole nation. Verse 1, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Because from Moses' time onwards, this was the story, wasn't it? Danger, promises of rescue, rescue actually delivered again and again and again. And it would be a meditation for them. What if he hadn't parted the Red Sea? What if Saul had finished David off? And we could add things as well. What if no Jesus sent on a rescue mission? What if the Lord had abandoned him to the grave? Or what if the Romans had done what they wanted to do and pummeled the early church out of existence? One of the fun things, actually, it's another reason why the structure of the Songs of Ascent helps. Put your psalm in conversation with the other psalms that are the same one. So this is the middle psalm. Put Psalm 124 in conversation with some of the other ones that are in the middle, and that will help us reflect on what if the Lord had not been on our side. So 127, do you want to just have a look at Psalm 127? It's a very important psalm for people in ministry. Sorry, you actually have to open your Bible for that one. It's like the old days. Psalm 127. We're asking in Psalm 124, what if the Lord had not been on our side? Well, Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So what if the Lord was not building the house? What if we were laboring in vain? I mean, there's a lot of labor in midweek, isn't there? I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. I was thinking about it. You know, Ed could do 25 talks, and we'd all just come on a Wednesday night, forget Tuesday night. It's over a whole year, don't worry, Ed. 25 talks over the whole year, and no Bible studies need to be written, and that'd be a lot less work. I mean, don't worry, I'm not suggesting that we actually do this. But if you think, you know, all of these studies and all of these leaders and all of this labor, well, just imagine the Lord was not on our side at work. I mean, imagine we got to the end of the year and said, sorry, guys, the Lord's not been at work. You know, well done, total waste of time. Well, the Lord has been at work. And we can look back over 13 years of him at work in Euston Church. You know, I had coffee with Elisha Wong's dad, William, when I was in Singapore. And William said to me, there's people in every city in Asia who were discipled at Euston Church. I said, William, that is a gross exaggeration. But it's, you know, this is a guy, if you need to be reminded why we're doing what we're doing, have a chat with William Wong. He's a guy that's got a vision for this ministry. And it made me think, yeah, you know, the Lord has been at work. And actually, he's been at work in the way that midweek runs. It's not, you know, sorry, Ed, this is why we don't want 25 talks. Because the Lord's been at work as people have been deeply discipled and mentored and taught in that kind of one-to-one way. So imagine the Lord had not been on our side at work. Well, thank the Lord he has been. Or Psalm 130, this takes this even more personally, actually. So just have a look at Psalm 130, verse 3. There's a what if. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? You know, what if? No forgiveness. Now, I don't know what you feel particularly guilty about as you look back over the summer. You know that awful line in John's Gospel where Jesus says to the Pharisees, you will die in your sins? You know, what an awful thing to die in your sins. What if? You know, what if hell was my only prospect? We should have been swallowed alive spiritually by now, swept away. But the Lord, verse 4 there, with you there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And that is actually one of the reasons why this is just all so, so important, isn't it? It's really important. You know, midweek's fun. I hope it's fun in your groups, freshers, all this. It's all fun stuff, but it's really important. It's about people being forgiven and meeting the Lord in a state that means they don't need to die in their sins. So thank you for doing such important work. And you could carry on with that through the other songs of ascent. I think it's understandable that we can easily be consumed with the pressures and the disappointments of life and ministry. I know that's been true for me. And maybe you feel like you've had it up to here already and the ministry year is only just getting going. There will be things that will be, you know, in danger of consuming you in that way this year. Anxieties about your group, disappointments with people ministry sins. Do you have your particular ministry sins? You know, it's so gutting that even a good thing like ministry produces bitterness, envy, these kind of things. Well, one of the things that I hope will help me to stay warm to the Lord, to stay talking to him and stay energized, is this kind of regular godly reflection on what if no Yahweh in my life? Think about it. Think how your life and future would be so different. Think about it till it makes you really thankful. Count your blessings is really another way of saying this, isn't it? Imagine if I had the discipline to go to bed every night and had a moment of thinking, oh, what if the Lord had not been on our side today? And I hope that would give me lots of reasons to go to bed thankful. I think healthy ministry begins in here, doesn't it? It begins in my head and my heart. If I'm thankful and praising and saying things like, what a relief for the Lord in my life, then there's maybe a chance that he could use me to help some other people. Or am I not saying, what a relief? Have I forgotten the calamitous state that I was in? You know, it's easy to start to take it for granted or even start to think we're so busy in midweek, the Lord should be thanking us for being on his side. You know, some Christians do really feel this Psalm 124, because maybe you're one of them, because you maybe came from a particular background, or the way you heard the gospel seemed particularly random. That means you'll always be just so relieved. You know, what if that moment hadn't happened? That's how you became a Christian. Well, do you believe that this psalm basically describes your great escape? And that this is the story of who you are? You know, you are not a midweek leader. Well, you are a midweek leader, but that's not kind of who you are in essence, you know. And I hope you're, as well as things that would make us worried at this time of year, I hope you're thankful and excited about a ministry year. And I hope there'll be great things. But midweek leading is not who you are. Being the minister of Euston Church is not who I am. Who I am is a person with a story of a great escape. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That's my story. That's John Newton, you know, the guy who wrote that line. He's buried in a little church near where my dad lives. And the tombstone, I've forgotten to bring, I meant to have the piece of paper with the tombstone and what it says on it to read out to you at this point. I'm very sorry. You can look it up on Google later. But it basically, it's his tombstone. I'm trying to remember it in my head now. It's, Ravi's looking it up. Look it up, Ravi. John Newton tombstone. Thank you, Charlene. Well done. You know, the way it says things like the rich mercy, and he was preserved. Basically, it's a really good tombstone because it captures the tone of John Newton, that song about grace. That's really the theme tune of his whole life. And when you read John Newton writing, even in his old age, he's a guy who never really gets over the fact that the Lord has been so kind to save someone like him. I once was lost, but the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord. And I just wonder and I pray that that would be the theme tune of my life and the theme tune of all of us this year. Shall I pray?